good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and this is our live prophecy reality edition. We do this once a week. We depart from our regular radio broadcast and turn on the studio cam so you can see my face and any exhibits that I might put on the screen. And we talk about prophecy and reality and, well, wherever the Spirit leads us. So, stand by with your cup of coffee and we'll see where the Holy Spirit goes with this broadcast, because I really have very little on my agenda today. I do have a few news items to start out the evening with, so let's go over to let's talk about Pope Francis, and he extends the priest's ability to forgive sin. So the Most Holy Father, the Antichrist, has spoken. Now his priests have the ability to forgive sin, but we know that God already forgave abortion, yeah, and any other sin that you could think of. So, but it's awful benevolent for Pope Francis, the man who sits in the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin, to allow his priest to also forgive the sin of abortion for those constituents of his the false Antichrist or apostate church out there. And I'm not belittling Catholics or anything. I love Catholics, and there are a lot of good people out there. As a matter of fact, God even says that he has a lot of his people in the Catholic Church. And that's why he says, come out of her, my people. And he's been calling his people out of the apostate church for over 500 years now. And most of those people become Protestants. So, and even get to the point where they protest the Antichrist church. And, we're true Protestants here. And our prophecy, our stand in prophecy, is definitely Protestant, definitely historicist. So beware of that going in. You're going to hear a little bit of a different view on prophecy. For instance, there is no rapture, and nobody's going to be raptured out during some fictional 7-year tribulation deception coming to a neighborhood, country, the world, soon anyway, because as soon as they start building that temple, that's when they kick off their phony Daniel's 70th week, and they call this great 7-year tribulation. And nobody's going to be raptured. You can mark my words. I don't even have to be a prophet to tell you that nobody's going to be raptured, because there is no 7-year tribulation in the Bible, and there certainly isn't a rapture. And I do believe in the resurrection, though. Don't get me wrong. The resurrection is biblical. The rapture is not. They are not the same thing. The resurrection will happen on God's timetable, whereas the raptures will never happen. Not even on the timetable that they've been writing about in their fictional left behind rapture eschatology books of, and all of that stuff that they're selling at Rapture Ready and Rapture This and Rapture That. Rapture is very popular, and I can understand why people buy into the rapture, because I bought into it once. They sold it to me, I bought it, and because it sounded really good before anything bad happens. Before I have to deal with the mark of the beast or any of those things that are all of those plagues and vials and everything that's going to be crammed into that 3.5 or 7-year period that they call the Great Tribulation. Well, I'd want to miss that. Believe me, give me a rapture and I'm out of here, dude. I'm buying that one. So I bought my rapture ticket, found out it was good for nothing. And I found out I read God's word, and that'll get you every time when you start studying into it and you give up on all the conjecture and all the supporting conjectured verses that they use to support the rapture and go, the Bible doesn't really say that. So anyway, let's see what other news items we got here. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening on First Amendment Radio and it's like a little after 8 p.m. Pacific time. That would be like a little after 10 on the New York coast over there. You can come over to the chat room, and there's a little screen there where you can actually watch live. You can see my face on a little itty-bitty screen about, oh, that big. Won't use much bandwidth at all. And any you can see anything that I exhibits or whatever that I put on the screen. Or you can just keep listening on the radio. Don't matter to me. And if you're listening at another time, it's a rebroadcast, okay? But I'd still like to hear from you. And maybe if you're listening on a rebroadcast, you can catch us live at 8 p.m. Tuesday. That's 8 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay, that little bit of homework is taken care of. Let's see what else we got here in the news. Well, Trump is all over the news. Let me see if I can put this desktop on the screen there. Yes, there we go. And I have here at breaking Israeli news, and it says that, oh, that's not the screen, is it? Whoa. Okay, that's not the screen. I should have had this set up before I went anywhere, because now you see one of my folders. Okay, I don't know which screen it is that I'm looking at here, that you're looking at. Must be this one. That's it, right? And we'll put it over here on my desktop, open it up, and then we'll click on the browser. Did I get it there yet? No, I didn't. I better put my face back on here. Well, that just shows you that I'm not ready. That's awful, isn't it, that I'm not ready? Yeah. I didn't do my... I try to get everything ready. There we go. I got it now. Okay, there we finally found Israel breaking Israeli news. And Trump appoints friend of Israel as ambassador to anti-Zionist United Nations. And indeed, you know, the United Nations is anti-Zionist. There's no doubt about it. I don't know who this person is. What's her name? South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. And, well, there you go. She's pro-Israel. So, well, that, I guess that bodes well for Israel, since the United Nations has been so opposed to them that they said they had no right to anything on or having to do with the Temple Mount just a few weeks ago. So maybe things will change for Israel a little bit. So, okay, well, let's see what else we got. And, of course, more Donald Trump, always in the news here, even in, let's see, will Donald Trump fire the Iran? Oh, this thing is kind of not working well, my browser. I need a new browser. Firefox has really become disappointing for me. So, I know I'm expecting a lot of my 6-core computer here, my 6-core processor, but should work better than this. Okay. Will Donald Trump fire the Iran nuclear deal? What do you think, James? Should he fire the Iran nuclear deal?
I don't think he can.
You don't think he can? Okay, well, you know, he could stop it up somehow. But, okay, well, it's a question, it's a headline. And so, I guess all we can do is wait to see what happened. But it's there at IsraelBreakingNews.com, if you want to see those articles. But, you know, not really a whole lot going on the prophecy front. And it's not really on the screen. See, I'm not getting this transition thing working very well here. That was supposed to be over there, James. See it?
Oh, yeah.
I was supposed to push the button like this. So while I think something's on the screen, it isn't. Yes, indeed.
Isn't Iran taking over Iraq?
Yeah, Iran is kind of moving into Iraq to fill the void there. That's what I've heard. You know, I hope, you know, it's my hope that that Donald Trump gets us out of most of this foreign stuff, and then we can spend more time here, and let's let the churches and the people give to the poor of the other nations rather than all of this foreign aid from the government. Let the people take care of the foreign aid. You know, let them give to the good causes. Let the people have their money back. The federal government shouldn't be doing all of this stuff. Usurping the charity of the people and the churches and other not-for-profit organizations that should be doing all of this foreign aid. That should not be the government. But, you know, what the government, it's a corruption type thing. It's a corruption type thing because the government has used foreign aid to bribe other nations, to line the pockets of their friends. They give the foreign aid to hire their friends as contractors to do projects in other countries, and they call it foreign aid. But the people that really get rich are their friends that they get the contracts that the foreign aid is going for. So it's all very corrupt. So I really hope that Donald Trump can do a job cleaning up a lot of that corruption and bringing the jobs back to America. So we get, you know, I guess if he does that, then America gets to tool up, and then America will have all of the new tools when it comes to manufacturing. And it's going to be tricky. I think it's going to be painful, but I think it'll be worthwhile. And but everyone will start crying. Little pain, and people just, you know, start crying like babies. So, but I have to admit, if he does what's right, it's going to be painful for America. But it will pay dividends in the long run. And, you know, we got to stick around here for another almost 40 years until the seventh millennium begins. And as many believe, the return of Christ at the beginning of the seventh millennia. So, and if you're interested in that, I have an article on my website, and it's called What Year Is It? And I'm going to my website right now, and I'll put that on the screen for you too. Right? Oops. That's not it. It's the desktop. Ah, there it is. Now transition to the desktop. This has got to be, now that's the wrong camera there. There we go. Okay. So anyway, I got into this is my, my website, crosstheborder.org. This is what it looks like when you go there. And if you scroll down on the right-hand side, you'll find these trending articles. These are the most popular articles today, whatever's trending at the time. Of course, this one's always up here in the top. These two, people are really interested in Flat Earth, so my Flat Earth article, we're straightening people out on that one. So make sure you check that out if you're interested in or if you're questioning whether the earth is flat or spherical. You can find out what the Bible says there. Empire of the City, the unholy trinity that rules the world. Very different perspective than other articles and videos of the same genre, so to speak. Of the same idea. And what you always find here, down here, you see what year is it. It's always there. So if you click on that, what year is it? And this posting comes up, and there's a summary chart showing you from the Bible this entire timeline up to this point here, up to where Christ appears. So we have an entire timeline from Genesis until Jesus appears, the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Yeah, and he appears at the end of the 69th week. And so we have a biblical timeline. And you can go through it all. As you go through the whole article, you'll find every biblical reference you need to verify everything that's in the article. It's derived, totally biblically derived, up to the point of Christ. And from there we jump over to the Roman calendar to use our timeline. You just scroll through the article. You see we go through the genealogies. We cover each of those items in that summary chart. We go through this birth of Isaac to Exodus segment of the chart, and we go through, let's see, the kings of Israel. We go through the kings there, and then we talk about the calendation, and then we synchronize. We talk about the Jewish calendar too, in case you're wondering, because, you know, a lot of people look to the Jewish calendar. Maybe I'll find a clue there as to what year it is from creation, but I show you what's wrong with the Jewish calendar, and there's no doubt about it. You can see that for yourself. And we do the creation Roman calendar synchrony using Common Era Roman calendar and BCE, before the Common Era Roman calendar dating, and we synchronize the Roman calendar with the creation calendar that we find in the Bible. And we put it all together and we come up with a summary chart, and we find out that the year 2015 is equal to about the year 5960. And I say about because I don't have it exact. I don't even want to have it exact. If I get it in a three-year window, I'm happy. It's good enough for me, okay? Because I'm not going to change the way I live. You know, I'm gonna live for God until He returns or until I go to the grave, whichever comes first. I'm not going to change what I'm doing. But it's all there for you. What year is it? On my blog at crosstheborder.org. And when you go to my blog, you'll see a follow button down. It'll pop up. It won't pop up on mine because I'm already subscribed to my blog. But you'll see a follow button will pop up. And so click on that. And then when you click on that, you go to this free ebook tab here. And you click on that and you follow the instructions there. Subscribe to my blog and share. And then leave a comment. Make sure you answer the email after you subscribe to my blog, because until you answer and verify by email that you actually subscribe to my blog, you will not be subscribed. And then you can get a free copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, absolutely free. Yeah, no money at all. Won't cost you anything except a few minutes of your time. And that's it. And you can get that. And at the same time, you can also, if I go to my homepage here, go back to the homepage here, yeah, and you scroll down here somewhere, I think. Yes. Oh, this one here. You can get an e-copy of this too, and that is The Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae 2015. And that is an abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae that was published in of the fifth edition of his great work back in the 1860s, updated the last few chapters there, and we may do some updates later on in the future as I learn more. But basically, it's 99% or 98% original E.B. Eliot work. So there you go. And you get a free copy of that too. These are also available for purchase. Click on the cover wherever you see it, and you can actually go and purchase it if you want to get a paperback copy. Let's see, any other homework we need to take care of there? No, it's on a loop?
Not the stream, but the listen on.
Oh, really? Wow, I hope not. Looks like it's doing well over here. Yeah, I'm streaming.
No, not for streaming.
Oh,
the listen on button.
That is streaming. That's what I'm streaming over here. Try the listen live button and see what you get. You're on a different internet connection. Don't worry about me. Sorry, we're taking a bit of a little homework here and see if it's on a loop. Yeah, WW, you need to restart your browser or listen some other way. Yeah, the listen live button does work, and it's not in a loop, so it must be your browser. Okay, all that homework taken care of there. Now, where are we going with talk a little bit about prophecy. You know, it's very important that we don't get snared up into the false prophecy and neglect the things that we should be doing. Myself and James here in the room with me, he still doesn't want to get on camera, so what can I say? We've been having some heated debates. Wouldn't you say, James?
Yeah.
He's been kicking around a lot of ideas, and anyway, yeah, he's young and impetuous. He even admits it. Yes, it is true, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I wish more. Yeah, I wish more young people were as zealous as our good friend James is about the things of God and about prophecy too, especially. It seems that there's not a whole lot of people out there that want to get into prophecy and the church and everything. So, but there must be a few people interested because we have two or three people that actually listen to this broadcast once in a while. So I know there's at least two or three of you out there. How many are in the chat room right now? Oh, yes, they haven't showed up yet, James.
No, but there are people listening to
this. Yeah, I know. There are people. They don't want to come. Okay, that's okay. Just listen. That's right. And so anyway, we talked.
I have a prayer request in the chat room.
Oh, in which prayer? Oh.
I copied the message.
Oh, see, Andrew Marches, so I rent a room. Susie is my landlord. Yesterday she requested prayers for her dad who is older and ill. He passed away at midnight and she also has a very bad cold. This feels desperate. Prayer for Susie, please. Okay, well, you know, I guess we can add Susie to our prayer list. And I don't have any magic prayers. My prayers are no better than anyone else's. So, but God does honor our prayers. So, Heavenly Father, I just ask you to touch Susie and give her comfort for the loss of her loved one. And bless her with the knowledge of you that she may walk in your kingdom and find eternal life. Amen. And everyone said, Amen. Okay.
But it's a good, you know, point to make. Don't love your family more than God, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that's a fitting point right now, is it?
Right.
Well, we could preach. That preaches, though, brother, I'll tell you.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, well, I've done it on occasion, but I usually don't do it on the occasion of someone losing their father. I mean, I hope that Susie's dad was, that he was saved. I hope he was. You know, there's not much, I can't say prayers for the dead, but I can say prayers for the living. And I hope he was, and I pray for his daughter that, yeah. And if she's asking for prayer, I think there's already something going on there, so. I tend to believe that, you know, that Susie, you know, you'll see your dad in the resurrection. At least I hope so, that he was a man of God. There you go. Okay, let's see. WW says, still and 24 are both having audio feedback loops. Boy. Well, click on the little TV screen on the right-hand side of the chat room there. And that's a whole different feed. There's no, it uses very little bandwidth to make that little 300 pixel screen. So you could probably listen to that at the same time. And hey, we're going to go into a break here. And when we come back, I promise we'll have things to talk about. Some struggles and challenges I'm having with the mark of the beast. Presently, I wanted to share those with the audience. So make sure you don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. Our technical staff here figured out the audio problem, so we're glad to say that we resolved that one. I didn't hear it till the break because I couldn't hear it over me talking. But yeah, it was coming on through my Internet Explorer browser. Yikes. Okay. Anyway, so we got all the problems fixed now. That's why I need you to put headphones on and check the feeds when we go on the air. My sometime producer over there. to do a producer job. Okay, where were we going? Okay, well, yeah, we're going to talk about some Mark of the Beast challenges that we may be faced in everyday life. Now the Mark of the Beast, we have to define that. Now, I read in the Revelation that even back, you know, when the papacy and the Reformation rose and people had the mark of the beast and God, and there were people that had the mark of God. So we know that it's not a physical thing, at least not throughout history. Even back when Babylon came in to destroy, Judea and Jerusalem and the temple back, you know, 500-600 BC. The angel went through the city and marked all the people in their forehead who, that belonged to him. So they had the mark of God. And so you see the people throughout history either have the mark of God, spiritually speaking, or they have the mark of the beast. And it says that all who whose names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast in his image. They have the mark of the beast. But there is a time in the future where the mark of the beast is expressed as a monetary mark, is as something that you will need to show in order to buy or sell in the beast's monetary system. And so we understand, and I have a chapter in my book about this, and the rapture will be canceled. Chapter 12, I believe it is, on the Mark of the Beast. But basically, what we have today, and we've had since 1913, and it's only grown in strength, and it has grown throughout the earth to where every nation now has the same type of currency and the same type of money, and it's a fiat usury money. And fiat, of course, means that it has no substance, that there is nothing backing it up but air or the faith of the people that spend it. And it's also usury because it's created by usury. How we get new dollars into existence is the government borrows them or people borrow them. So in order to borrow money from, and I call it Satan's monetary system, because God said the gold and the silver are mine. Okay? So that means, and substance, if it has substance, it belongs to God. And America was founded with a substance money, gold and silver money that was written into its law at the beginning. But when the Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury took place in 1913, and that was the City of London bankers, which got that in there, and they called it the Federal Reserve, even though it isn't federal. They named it thusly to deceive the people into accepting it, and the people accepted it, and they bribed enough people in the Congress, and President Wilson, I think, moaned and kind of repented for what he did to the nation when he said that something like he sold out the nation or whatever. I forget the exact thing that he said, but he was the president at that time. He should have vetoed it. But anyways, it happened, and Satan's monetary system has only grown since then to where it now dominates the whole world. And it's the same bankers from the City of London that have installed the Federal Reserve in the United States and taken over the fiat and installed their fiat usury currencies in all of the nations of the world, except maybe a couple like, where's that tyrant at? That not Korea. What is the name of that nation? That's that's near Vietnam, north of Vietnam. North Korea, that's it. Yeah, did I say that? Korea? North Korea. That's the one, except for maybe North Korea and some other obscure little country that has 500 people or something. But for the most part, they've got, you know, the London bankers, the London money powers of that city of the empire is one of the unholy trinity that rules the world. So they have their monetary system. So we see the mark of the beast system developing. And it says that everyone will have a mark. And a mark is an identification. See, because when God marked his people, he identified them by that mark. You know, when you want to mark something as yours, you're identifying it as belonging to you. So everyone who has the mark of the beast belongs to the beast. And everyone who has the mark of God belongs to God. So, and a mark of a beast, okay, is not necessarily a bad thing. Because governments have for many, many years marked their people and named them. Take, for instance, Daniel. He was back there in Babylon, you know, when the Babylonians first came in and carried away a bunch of the brightest of Israel back to Babylon to install them and use their knowledge and their wisdom for the service of Babylon. Of course, Daniel was one of those guys that they carried away. And of course, we read Daniel had an excellent spirit. And he was marked. He was marked with the name Belteshazzar or something like that. One of those names. But anyway, they gave him a Babylonian name, and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also given those names by. So they were marked with an identification that was Babylonian. And actually, they were slaves in Babylon. They were owned. They were the property of the Babylonian beast government. And so, you know, they were marked, but any time, and this is well demonstrated in the book of Daniel, he being thrown into the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace, is that when that beast government required them to disobey the law of God, that's where they put on the brakes. And they said, you can kill me, but I will not violate the law of God. And so that's the standard we see set. And by Daniel and his fellows back there. And we also see that same standard carried through into the New Testament, where Peter and some of his friends were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel on the street corner. They came out and they told them, "You can't preach here." You know, and so they came back the next day and, well, guess what they did? They violated the beast government, the Roman beast government in this case. And as they started preaching there, and they said, you know, when they came out again and confronted them, and they said, well, who are we to obey, God or man? So we see this, the same principle demonstrated there in the New Testament, that we are to keep God's law and His commandments, and even His individual commandments, because God may command, you know, you to do something that you might not necessarily have to do if He hadn't commanded you individually to do it. And so we all have to stand before God on our own two feet and obey Him in whatever He commands us personally, but He gives us His law. So He's never going to command you to do something that would violate His law. Okay, so that's like rule number one. And so we have that principle. And anyway, I see the mark of the beast developing. And I believe that, like the Social Security number in America, and they call it the SIN, Social Insurance Number in Canada, the NENO, and every country, and then some they just call it Social Security, like here. But it's by treaty, it's, you know, worldwide now. And you need that number to buy or sell in the government's monetary systems. So you can see this whole thing building. And but see, it's not mandatory right now. Many people don't believe me. They think, oh, you have to have a Social Security number. Well, no, this is a free country. I don't have to be a socialist if I don't want to. And so I'm not going to sign a socialist contract for benefits to participate in, you know, in this socialist system, because to me, socialism is theft. You know, the government robs your neighbor, they redistribute the wealth, they and their friends get most of the money, and the people get a pittance. And so it's theft. And Jesus said they call themselves benefactors. And so they're pretend benefactors, because they're giving other people's money away rather than their own. So they're not true benefactors. So we have it developing, and I don't participate in socialism. Therefore, I do not have a Social Security number. And it creates problems, and I find as I go on, then the government said, I used to have a driver's license, and then the government said, well, now you can't get a driver's license without a Social Security number. You have to be a card-carrying socialist in order to get a driver's license. So I said, well, I guess I can't have a driver's license, because it's against God's law for me to participate in socialism. And you know, I'm not saying that you're a great sinner or that you're going to hell because you have the mark of the beast, because you have a Social Security number, because you were probably born into the system. You were probably deceived into thinking you had to participate. But see, the law says that once you find out the truth about a contract that someone else entered you into, yeah, you can withdraw from it. Yeah, so there is a way out. And the way out, I would tell everyone, is repentance. Now, you can go to some of these shysters out there that have $1,200 citizenship packages, and they want to, now just repent. You know, and when you repent of something, that means you stop doing it, you stop participating in it. And that's what you do. You repent, and you stop participating. And if that's difficult, well, you know, just, as I've said before, back away from the beast slowly. But we'll not get it. I have a 10-part series. It's called Protesting the Mark of the Beast. You can find that on my website, crosstheborder.org, and just put in there Protesting the Mark of the Beast, and the page will come up with the entire 10-part video series on protesting the mark of the beast. And so we don't have to discuss that anymore. But I've had a few challenges lately, and maybe this could be an addendum. I don't have a driver's license, but I still travel by automobile because I'm not a driver. And since I'm not required to have a social security number, anything that requires a social security number for me to participate is not mandatory. Okay? Because the social security number isn't mandatory. So I don't have a driver's license, but I still travel by automobile. And I was traveling to church a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And I was stopped at a stoplight because I obey all the rules, and if someone wants to pass me, I get out of their way. I'm very kind on the road. I'm probably one of the safest travelers out there. Okay, driver not in the legal sense, okay? Because legal terms have legal meanings when you're using them in a legal sense. And the ordinary sense of a word and legal sense of a word are two different things. So anyway, I was traveling and stopped my automobile at a stoplight and was sitting there for, you know, probably halfway through the stoplight, and someone rear-ended me. Young man driving his parents' pickup truck. Okay? So we got out, and he says, "Oh, man, I'm sorry." He starts apologizing all over the place. Well, I looked at his pickup truck, and there was no damage to it whatsoever. And I looked at the back of my, the tailgate of my van was completely crushed in, where his bumper went right into the middle of the metal panel below the window on the tailgate, and just crushed it in, and it kind of folded the tailgate in so that it doesn't quite shut right anymore, and it's kind of flared out on the outside bottom a little bit because it's actually bent. So it's not fixable. So he says, "Man, I'm really sorry," and all this. And I said, "Don't worry about it. You know, you got a new vehicle. You probably have insurance that'll cover it." So I said, "Just let me have your name and your address and your phone number, and I'll be in touch with you when I find out what the damages are." So he says, "Well, I want to call my parents." I said, "Well, you know," because he was 17. And I said, "Well, you know, I don't want to wait for your parents." And so I went on, and I said, "I will contact you. Don't worry about it. You have no damage. I have damage. I will contact you," right? So anyway, I went on and took my daughter to a youth group at a local church. And about 30 minutes later, I went back. I headed back home, and he was still sitting there waiting for his parents. There's no way I want to sit there and wait for his parents. But I did ask him before I left. I said, "Will you let me videotape you admitting that you rear-ended me and that the accident was your fault?" He said, "Yeah." Okay. So I got a videotape of him on my smartphone and on my daughter's, because I wasn't sure about mine's an older one, not as good a camera. But so I got, you know, two admissions on video of him admitting that he rear-ended me and it was his fault. Case closed, right? So anyway, the next day I went and got an estimate for damages to have that replaced and have my bumper fixed, because there was minor damage to the bumper. And it came like to $2,600 or something. I was, wow, surprised, but not surprised, because everything is so skyrocketing high. And so I contacted his parents. His dad owned the automobile, so he's responsible for letting his son drive it. And I come to find out, they said, "Oh, well, here's our insurance company number. They're going to take care of it." So anyway, so I sent them all the information, and they said, they sent me a letter back saying that the driver that during the accident was an excluded person on our policy, therefore the damage is not covered. Basically, what they're telling me is they didn't have any insurance for their son when he was driving their vehicle. As a matter of fact, he was excluded, and that they took a chance by letting him drive, and he rear-ended me. And so, and now the people said, "Well, we want your driver's license and insurance." And I retold them back. I says, "Look, you know what? It's a open and shut case. Your son damaged my vehicle, and I would like to have the damages paid for." And I said, "If I rear-ended you and your driver's license was expired or lost, Would I not be responsible for the damages? And I said, and because they said, well, we want your proof of insurance. Well, they had no insurance either, even though they had proof of insurance, which I never asked for. Because I never asked for their driver's license or proof of insurance. I just wanted their address and phone number so I could contact them, and I got that. And I was happy with that. But then now they're kind of harassing me because I'm not showing them a driver's license. And they weren't even at the scene. It was their son. And proof of insurance. And I told them if I had insurance that covered the damage that your son did to my vehicle, it would be my insurance company trying to collect the damages from you instead of me. Ta-da. And so anyway, they're trying to make a federal case out of me not showing them a driver's license and proof of insurance. I can't get that because I'm not a socialist, and they only let socialists, card-carrying socialists, have driver's licenses in the state of California. So it's kind of a challenge. Those are some, that's a minor challenge, really, in dealing with people and the socialist number. And then I have another thing going on that could be potentially problematic because I'm not a card-carrying socialist. And, if you repent of something, because someone signed up for me for a socialist number way, way back before I could ever remember. And then when I became cognizant and aware of the facts, I withdrew, repented, and stopped using it. And that was like 25 years ago, okay? So it's long gone, and since I repented, I can't go back. And since then, I found out that no one has a Social Security number unless they believe they do, because it's not yours. By the definitions at law, you don't have a Social Security number, because to have something is to own it, right? And you don't own the Social Security number that you think is yours. You don't own it. You can't sell it. If it's yours, you own it. You can sell it, manipulate it, abolish it, change it, but it's not yours. As a matter of fact, it's against the law for you to do any of those things because it's not yours. So on the definition of have in law, you do not have a Social Security number. And I'm not just saying this. This is actually comes from a court case. And I don't have that court case, but I'm sure some resourceful people out there could find it for you. It's a guy in Texas was going to run for office, and he refused to put a Social Security number on the application of the file to run to get on the ballot or whatever it was. And then he challenged him. He took it to court because they wouldn't let him run for office without a Social Security number, because he decided he wasn't a socialist either. And so that was his argument. Under the definition of have in law, I do not have a Social Security number. And he won his case. And even so, I guess he could get on the next ballot, because court cases take time. The wheels of justice or injustice, mostly injustice in America, roll very slowly. So that's another case. And speaking of, I have to appear in court tomorrow. I got a summons here. This is an order to appear for examination. They're going to examine me because they think they can collect money out of me. And it's problematic, for them. One, it's a bogus judgment, and I should have it thrown out. But the way the court rules are, I have to submit to this examination anyway, unless I can kind of, convince the judge that the judgment isn't what they say it is. But anyway, basically it's a harassment. But they're going to ask me for a Social Security number so they can attach my wages. And I get to tell them I don't have one. Now, they could make a federal case out of it. They could even charge me with contempt of court and throw me in jail. But I will, I will testify in the courtroom that according to my sincerely held religious belief, for me to participate in socialism and have a Social Security number is against my sincerely held religious beliefs, and that I believe, sincerely believe, that it is the mark of the beast, or at least what is developing into the mark of the beast of the scripture. And it isn't mandatory. There's no law that requires me to have one. Otherwise, this wouldn't be a free country, right? No one can compel me to a political affiliation to which I do not agree. So if I don't want to be a socialist, I don't have to sign up and be a card-carrying socialist. Yikes, examination. Yeah. Yeah, this guy's just, these evil people, they hired this lawyer to examine me and see if he could get me thrown in jail. So I have to go, or they will definitely issue a warrant for me to be picked up. So, and I don't want that to happen. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, speaking of prayer, hold me up in prayer for these several trials that I'm dealing with, which have to do with the mark of the beast. Yeah. And I've got stopped by the police before, and I've told them that, and they let me go because there's nothing they can really do. And because I found out that having a driver's license is actually a detriment. That's right, because if you have a driver's license, they can ticket you because you've agreed. It's another contract that you've entered into. And so I'm just traveling on my right to travel. Yes, thank God there's still a vestige of that free country left, and I can, stand on my religious liberty. Hey, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and I'm sure we'll find more stuff to talk about when we get back from the break. Maybe I'll even hear from you. Okay.
Calvary, that's the place where Jesus bled and died.
years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Chris Woodward. President-elect Donald Trump says he is leaving his business empire to focus on being president. Trump tweeted that it is, quote, visually important as president to in no way have a conflict of interest with my various businesses. Trump says he and his kids will hold a news conference December 15th. The president-elect has chosen banker and film producer Steve Mnuchin as his nominee for Treasury Secretary, Mark Smith reports.
Mnuchin confirmed his choice on CNBC, vowing to lead the charge for lower corporate taxes and sustained economic growth. He also promised the biggest tax overhaul since Ronald Reagan, including major cuts for the middle class. The 53-year-old Mnuchin was Trump's finance chief during the campaign. He's a former Goldman Sachs executive and helped bankroll Avatar and the X-Men films. Mark Smith at the White House.
The death toll from the severe storms that moved across the South overnight has risen to 5. An official in Tennessee says 2 people have been killed and at least 9 others injured in severe weather that hit the state overnight. Across the state line, 3 people were killed in northeastern Alabama when a suspected tornado hit a mobile home in Jackson County. In world news this hour, Israeli jets have struck close to Damascus, Zaina Karam reports.
The Syrian government has just confirmed that Israeli jets fired 2 missiles that they said were fired from Lebanese airspace towards the outskirts of the Syrian capital this morning. They did not say what was targeted exactly. A Syrian government statement said the missile struck the Tabura area, which is just west of Damascus, and said that it did not cause any casualties.
As Iraqi forces continue their military offensive to liberate Mosul from Islamic State control, a Christian humanitarian aid organization is providing relief to thousands of Muslims, many of whom have become disillusioned over the religion of Islam. Bill Bumpus reports.
While it appears that the fight for Iraq's second-largest city is set to extend into 2017, Samaritan's Purse is working in multiple evacuee camps, setting up monthly food distributions as well as distributing water, blankets, hygiene kits, and shoes for displaced families. The ministry's Ken Isaac says they've also been able to share the gospel. He tells AFN many Muslims are becoming puzzled over Islam because of the cruelty of ISIS.
They're disillusioned in very serious ways, and I've heard that conversation many times when I've been in Iraq. You know, I'm a Muslim, and I don't understand how Muslims are doing this. So they've got their own internal conflicts in their theology, and they have their very human disappointments and suffering in life as well.
He explains that the power of Jesus is being revealed.
Christ does work in times of suffering. He comes forward, he makes himself known, and we're looking for every opportunity that we can to share the truth of Jesus Christ with people.
Isaac says ever since ISIS captured Mosul in June 2014, Samaritan's Purse has been bringing relief to Iraqis displaced by violence and terror.
The 14-nation oil-producing nations of the OPEC cartel are moving closer to ending infighting and agreeing to cut output for the first time in 8 years. The international benchmark for crude oil soared more than 8% as the country's oil ministers seemed to focus less on whether there would be a cut and more on how it would be shared among members. In final news this hour, the latest private sector survey on U.S. jobs shows the economy is in good shape as the new administration prepares to take over. Jerry Budlander reports.
The ADP survey showed 216,000 private sector jobs were created last month. That's the most since June.
The pace of job growth remains very robust.
Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi says the retail sector numbers were better than expected, even when you take into account the seasonal additions.
They're even more aggressive than you'd expect.
He says if Friday's jobs report from the government mirrors this one, the Fed will raise interest rates at its December meeting and likely continue to do so throughout next year. Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
That is American Family News for this hour. Find more news at onenewsnow.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Go. All right. You're listening to Cross the Border. Welcome back. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and my name is Nicholas. And to the two people that are listening, well, thank you for being here. It's nice to know that I'm not alone out there. And, of course, all of you listening to the rebroadcast, that's where the hundreds of people come in that listen to the rebroadcast. So try to find a time slot where I think more people will show up, but I guess this ain't it, or either that, or there's just probably a lot more people out there that are a lot more interesting than I am. Oh well, what can I do about that? Oh yes. Let's see. Yeah, I remember back in the day that Coca-Cola used to be popular, and they had a commercial. Things go better with Coke. Never heard that before? Things go better with Coke? Oh, it's an old jingle from back before you were born, James.
Yeah, I thought Coke was like, give happiness or something.
Yeah, I just saw a Coke commercial, actually, and it said, food goes better with Coke. I thought, really? If you want to die young, food goes better with Coke. But yeah, it did say that. But it reminded me of that old commercial, things go better with Coke. And then, guess what started happening? Then people started saying things like, things go better with Jesus. Seriously. And they had buttons in the... But you know what? Things don't go better with Jesus. Now, things may end better with Jesus, but on this planet, things don't go better with Jesus. And you know, I was thinking about these people that are persecuting me. That's why I have to go for an examination tomorrow. And I just marvel at how this man could get away with all the stuff that he's got away with and not suffer any retribution or punishment. It really is amazing. But then I thought about the scripture, and the scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a son the father in whom he delights, the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. So see, God corrects his own people. So if you see someone out there getting away with a lot of evil, and you go, especially when they're inflicting that evil upon, you know, me or you, and they seem to get away with it. They don't care. They just get so lackadaisical and they could keep getting away with it. And I just think, man, if I did those things, I'd be in jail. Or God would punish me. And, you know, to straighten me out because I'm his son. And I just thought, and so if he does not chastise you, you know, the Bible says that you are bastards and not sons. So, ooh, that's a dangerous place to be. I wouldn't want to be there. But, things may go better without Jesus. Yeah. At least they seem to in this world. You get more money, you get to go along, you can participate in the mark of the beast and have your socialist security count, because it doesn't matter. Yeah. But walking with Christ is not an easy thing. What was the scripture? What's my verse? It's to work out your salvation. Yeah, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that doesn't sound easy. And I know that, you know, when people back when the Coca-Cola jingle was things go better with Coke. And then they started printing buttons to sell at the Christian bookstores, things go better with Jesus and stuff like that. And then they started this easy believism type of Christianity. But when you read God's word and you start really living it, you find out that it's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's probably the hardest road that you can choose of all the roads that you can choose for your mortal existence. And that is to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, my sheep follow me wheresoever I go. And then there's that verse that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that just doesn't sound comfortable, just that part. But then, you know, another scripture talk about, what is this working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? What is that about? Well, it's, as it says in, I had it in my mind. Oh yeah, how about this one? This sounds really like a lot of fun, like things go better with Jesus. Pick up your cross and follow me. Yeah, how's that? Does that sound like things go better with Jesus? What do you think, James? Does that sound like a lot of fun? How about this one? Here's another one. He who endures till the end shall be saved. I have to endure something? I have to endure picking up my cross and following Jesus? I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? Yeah, that doesn't sound like what they promised me with the easy believism, you know, just say the magic words, pray the sinner's prayer, and Jesus will come into your heart, and it will be flowers and puppy dogs for the rest of your mortality. Oh, don't worry about that repentance thing. You don't have to do that. He accepts you just the way you are. Yeah. And, well, I'm here to say that it's the hardest road you're ever going to pick, especially when they start the final mark of the beast. Now, we talked about that a little bit earlier, about how the mark of the beast was a symbolic thing, you know, that you could have the mark of God in your forehead, or there's those that had the mark of the beast suffered under the woes of the revelation. And so, but the mark wasn't a physical tattoo or something, or it wasn't a microchip under the skin, because of course they didn't have those back in the 1500s or back 600 BC, right? And they didn't have those, so the mark was symbolic of being spiritually marked, belonging to God, belonging to the beast governments or Satan or whatever. So it was a symbol of that. But there's something different in Revelation chapter 13 about where it says that everyone will be required to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead in order to buy or sell, of course, in the beast system under the Antichrist. And so we have the Antichrist, we have Satan's monetary system in full bloom here. So a day is coming where you will be required. And if you don't comply, you may even be killed for not complying or participating in the mark of the beast monetary system. And of course, the ruling powers of the earth are going to insist that you do. Now, a lot of people are mistaken in America. They think, well, you have to have a social security number now, but the fact is, it is voluntary. It's just the fact that when most people volunteer for something, those who choose not to volunteer are put under a lot more pressure to volunteer. And especially when all the people that have volunteered or have been volunteered by their parents or elders or the system or whatever, while they were children, they think it's mandatory. They can't even imagine living without the benefit of a social security number. Just like me, I'm getting that age, you know, where I could actually collect social security number if I was a socialist. I mean, social security payments, retirement benefits. if I was a socialist, I could collect those. But I am never going to do that. Ever. Yeah. Because, see, I have this idea that God is going to take care of me. Because I have faith in God, and He doesn't take care of me because I have faith in Him. He takes care of me because He said He would. And Jesus said it. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And I read that as to put God's kingdom first in everything. So everything I do, I seek the kingdom of God position on whatever I do first before I do it. And if it kind of doesn't fit, I'm kind of like that Daniel guy and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego guy going, you know, this doesn't jibe with God's law. I'm not participating. Okay? And that's where I stand on the Social Security thing. So, I won't retire. I'll just keep working. I'll just keep, you know, seeking God's kingdom, putting God's kingdom first in everything I do. And if all I can do is, you know, is what I'm doing, and I'll continue to do it as long as I can. If I have to have the mark of the beast to get on the internet later on, which is a good possibility, then I'll just get on my feet and I'll hit the road. And I'll go places and then I'll preach the word on the street, whatever I got to do to work in His kingdom and sow to His kingdom and to bring as many people out of the beast system as I possibly can before the great day of the Lord comes. And, of course, I believe that will be about the turn of the millennium, which is coming according, as I said before, to my What Year Is It study. And like I said, verify it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You know, go through all the scriptures and verses and see if it all adds up for you. I know it does for me, and I vetted this thing now, and we haven't found an error in it for about 3 years, actually. So, because when I started it about 10 years ago, we had to keep revising it. But I think we got to the point where biblically it is sound, and there's no further revision beyond, you know, maybe some disputes over a year or two with maybe the genealogies or something, because we're not giving exact dating, so you have to do a little averaging there. But I just added up the totals that God gave us, so I think that's about the best I can do as far as the average. So someone even brought up the averaging argument again, and they looked at it both ways, which I did when I was doing it. And Al, oh, thank you, Al. He says, I just finished re-listening to the Mark of the Beast playlist. It's really good, so I appreciate that. And hey, thanks for coming by, Traveler and Al. It's good to see you in the chat room. So anyway, that Mark of the Beast playlist is there. And you know, these are the issues that we have to deal with in prophecy. These are the important issues. You know, we debate about a lot of things here, and sometimes, like I said, it gets a little heated, but we keep our mind on, you know, our eyes fixed on the prize, and that's the real thing, is to be walking in God's kingdom. And, you know, you can repent of participating in socialism and all of the things that we're snared in the world. You can repent from any form of sin, no matter how great or how small. And some people may have a difficulty with, like, pulling away, but, I mean, what's going to happen, you know, when they finally say, now it's mandatory. If you don't sign up, you're going to jail. And, you know, you might even be disappeared, or as the scripture said, you might be, you know, put to death for resisting or not participating in the mark of the beast or withdrawing from it. So there's going to come a time that God's people are going to be divided on that issue, and the sheep are going to be separated from the goat, because they're going to demand the worship of the beast in order to participate. That day has not come yet. In some countries it probably has. I don't know. I've talked to some people and they say they have to. Well, I say, you know, but they're speculating they have to. Have they tried repenting? Have they tried withdrawing and living without it and trusting in God to provide for them? I have, and God has proved himself faithful. And so, and I know that others have who have, you know, followed my broadcast for years, and they've walked this road with me over the years. And I know a lot of people have pulled completely away from the socialist thing, and they've withdrawn from it. And they've even moved to cut the ties of the past and the identification with the beast. And they've done whatever they've had to do. And it's a process, you know. I mean, you know, I've been walking this, and Al says, I just got to figure out how to make my transition. You'll make it. God will lead you through it. Don't be in a hurry. You know, walk carefully. As I say, back away from the beast slowly, because people go to jail, for tax things and stuff. You know, and if you're not careful, because there are a lot of people out there, they want all the benefits, but they don't want to pay the taxes. You know, they kind of try to walk the on both sides of the line. No, if you repent, you got to cut it off, man. You know, and you got to cut off everything that's associated with it. And that may be your job, that may be your driver's license, that may be whatever it may be. You know, but just pray about it and ask God to lead you and guide you and to help you withdraw from it. And as the time draws nearer to the enforcement of the mark of the beast, and, you know, I kind of have a timeline in my mind, and I kind of speculate because the money powers have set a date to go totally digital currency, and that is to do away with all paper, and a total digital one world currency to boot. And they announced this date in 1988 in The Economist magazine. Okay, and the date was 2018. So they said 30 years from today. And you know what? I look at what's happened over that 30 years, and I'm going, you know what? They're making it. As a matter of fact, if you read my book, the chapter on the Mark of the Beast, you'll see that they're going to have everyone numbered by 2018. Of course, that will be numbered. There are resistors like me. There's a couple thousand of us out here, and the number is growing. Not very, because most people, you know, worship the beast anyway. I mean, this is just tell it, say it like it is. Most people, the majority of the people on the planet, worship the beast. So it's nothing for them to participate and transition, you know, into the mark of the beast system, fully giving their worship to the beast. Some of them will deceive themselves and think that they're walking with God while they're worshiping the Antichrist, who will tell them that the mark of the beast is cool. As a matter of fact, it's an Antichrist organization, the UN, that is going to be enforcing it upon the world. And the UN is gaining more power all the time. And so this UN monetary, however it works, it's coming from the same people that set up their fiat usury system throughout the whole world. So it's just, you know, they didn't get it overnight. These people are very patient because their boss is really Satan, whether they even know it or not. It is a spiritual, satanic conspiracy that is transgenerational. And most people don't even know that are a part of it, don't even know that they're part of it. They don't know that they're playing a part in carrying out Satan's scheme to enslave mankind by his fiat usury monetary system. And why would Satan do that? And, well, because he wants to stand before God with the title deed to the earth, because he's loaned people, he's created fiat usury money to loan people so they could buy the property they live on. That's how his money is created, through usury. It's just created out of thin air, right? And not only that, he owns everyone that signs up for their benefits. He owns you. Because basically, when you sign up for socialism, or when someone signed you up, they said, I am incompetent. This child of mine is incompetent to manage their own financial affairs. So they will work, and they will keep whatever portion the beast says they should keep, the administrators of this beneficial benefactor system say they should keep, and the rest goes into it, so that if something happens, they become disabled or they retire, get too old to work, or whatever circumstance, they need welfare, the beast will provide it for them because they are incompetent to manage their own financial affairs in such a way that if something should happen unforeseen, that they will be taken care of. Okay. Well, you know what? We're all in that boat. But who's your daddy? Yeah, that's the real question. Is your daddy the state? They call it the doctrine of parens patriae. The state is your daddy. That's basically what it means. That's what it boils down to. Well, see, I have a father in heaven, and he's my daddy, right? And I'm counting on him. And he said, forget not all of my benefits. So if I turn to another father, because remember Jesus said, call no man father on earth, and that's what he was really talking about. You know, anyone that would take the place of the Heavenly Father, if you put them in the place of the Heavenly Father, they become your daddy. That's right. They become your Heavenly Father because you have exalted them to that throne in your life, and you're worshiping the beast. It's parens patriae. It's the beast that's your daddy now. But my daddy, my Heavenly Father, Jesus promised that he would take care of me. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And of course, he was talking about, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drive, how you're going to pay your electric bill, how you're going to pay your rent, you know, all of the things that you need in this life. He said, seek first my kingdom and these things will be added to you. My Father will make sure that he takes care of you because he is your daddy. He is your benefactor. So I get to choose. Well, forget not all of his benefits and take the benefits of the world. Make that him, you know, make the state or the beast my daddy, or keep the Heavenly Father as my dad. Well, I choose to keep the Heavenly Father as my daddy, you know, because his plan is much better. You know, here's your beast state daddy. Says, work until you get old, and then we'll give you money until you die. And that's it. It's over. Well, my daddy says, work for me until your mortal existence ends. Then you get to retire in my kingdom with a new body that'll never get sick or never get old. And just so you don't get bored, you're going to help me rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And then after that, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And, you know, we get to live forever, and the joys and the peace and the wonderfulness of it can't even be described. But I'm going to give you a taste of it now and then, just so you know that it's true. And then he verifies all of that so that you know that it's true. And as Paul said, keep your eye on the prize. That's the prize. That's what I'm after. And that's what I can't get from making the government or the beast my daddy. And forget the benefits of God for some mortal thing that will end when my mortal existence ends. Yeah, that's not the end of the story when you belong to him. And Jesus, he paid the price so that you could enjoy all of those benefits. He paid the price for your sins so that you could obtain eternal life. And you know, there is absolutely nothing more important in this life that you obtain, that you walk in God's kingdom. You know, Jesus said, repent. Yeah, that's a bad word in the world. Some people just don't want to repent. They hate that word. Even in a lot of the newer churches and in the emerging church movement, they hate that word. Oh, repent. Oh, you can't tell us to repent. That's negative, man. What's wrong with you? Positive. You're supposed to love your brother no matter what, and you're supposed to embrace him and his sin and everything, because we're all, you know, whatever. Yeah. You get the idea. Anyway, we have another segment to go. Questions, comments, the phone number's there in the chat room, 559-797-8537. Give me a call. 559-797-8537. We got another half hour to go. I'll see you in a few minutes.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And left us talking about repentance. And as I said earlier, things may not go better with Jesus in this mortal life, but the benefits are out of this world and they last forever. So you definitely want to get on the kingdom road there. And WW says in the chat room, he says, the closer to the end it is, the harder it will be to start repenting. Well, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and it went like this. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And repentance isn't a bad word. As a matter of fact, the kingdom road is a road of repentance. And I wrote once that repentance is not about regaining your salvation. When you live a lifestyle of repentance, it's about being perfected in Christ, about carrying your cross. And that's what it means. When you carry your cross, you're crucifying the deeds of the flesh. You're crucifying those things that are not pleasing to God. See, so if you're walking the kingdom road, you're not even perfect yet. You're only being perfected. And that's the evidence that you are in God's kingdom. And Jesus made that quite clear. Because he said, if your eye cause you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Of course, he didn't mean that literally. He was it's an illustration. It's an extreme illustration. And it's true too. And I've used the illustration, like if you can't have a computer without going to pornographic sites, well, you need to take that computer, like it's the eye, pluck it out, throw it out in the street, you know, break it up, and so you can't hear me anymore. That's better, you know, than your both whole body and soul be cast in hell. It's better to lose your eye. And he said, if your foot causes you to stumble or to sin, you should cut it off and cast it from you, because it would be better for you to enter the kingdom lame or blind than that your whole body and soul be cast in hell. And he was talking about, see, because in the resurrection, there is not going to be any, you'll get your eye back. You'll get your foot back, you know, using the illustration. Whatever you cut off, you know, whatever it costs you, there will be no lame people in the resurrection. We will all be healed physically forever with a new body that will never die or get sick or get old. So we enter God's kingdom now, and God's kingdom is a road of repentance. It's the road of righteousness. And as one song said, it's filled with tears and pain, and it is. It's not, things don't go better with Jesus in this mortal life. As a matter of fact, it is much harder. So don't be afraid to repent. The kingdom is at hand. And repent means, it comes from the two Greek words, if you don't know yet, it means to change your mind, you know? And when you change your mind about those things that are separating you from God, and you crucify the deeds of the flesh, because that's how you do it, you know? You change your mind about the things that, you know, to bring your life into conformance with God's law. You say, yes, I want to keep His law. It's holy, it's just, it's good, it's true, it's the best thing for me. But it's so hard because I'm, you know, because I have this fallen nature and temptations, and it's just hard to do. But I can try, I can attempt to do better. I can allow His Holy Spirit to convict me of sin so that I can change my mind about it, so that I might be perfected. And I'll never be perfect until that day, until that great day of the resurrection. Then, when I see Him, then I will be perfect, because the Scripture, His Word says that I will be like Him. And I look forward to that day. And I will continue. If I am honored enough to continue to work for God in God's kingdom for another 40 years till He comes, or 38 years, or whatever it is left, then that's what I'll do. I'll keep walking that repentance road, because there's always room for improvement in us mere mortals, us sons of Adam. No matter how advanced we become, there's always room for improvement. So, you know, what I say is, well, I'll hang out as long as I can. If God can improve me more and more, then let Him improve me, because I never get to do this again. That's right. And so, you know, there may be pain, there may be sorrow, there may be tears. It may be difficult. It may be a lot of things. But I know that God will give me the strength. The Heavenly Father will strengthen me through it all, and that He'll give me everything I need to walk the road that He has called me to walk. Yes, indeed. I know that's true. And, you know, not only is it true for me, but it's true for everyone out there that calls upon His name and decides to walk that walk and give their life to Christ, you know, become His. We are His property when He purchased, His blood is applied to us. He purchased us. We are His purchased possession. We belong to Him, and we need to obey Him. And that's something that we have to learn to do. That's why it's not easy. It's easier just to obey your flesh and obey the world and to go along, to get along. It would be easier for me to go out and get a socialist number and get a driver's license and buy insurance. It would be That was easy. I did that way back in the past, back in the 70s and 80s. I did all that stuff. Made lots of money too, you know. That was easy. This is hard. Believe me, and it's not getting easier. But I have experience behind me now. I've got more than 20 years experience walking. Well, 40 years of experience in God's kingdom, but more than 20 years experience walking away from the beast system and living without the benefits of the beast and relying solely on the Almighty and forgetting none of His benefits. Believe me, when you get into that position where you're getting nothing from the beast system, you have to rely. Well, you have to rely on God. It's, you know, He's my only benefactor. So, and I can never turn back, ever. I have, you know, 40 whatever years invested in His kingdom. And each succeeding year is a year that I've invested more than the year before. So, I mean, my heavenly bank account has more money. I mean, I have no much money or whatever it is that, you know, the treasure that Jesus said that we're supposed to store up in heaven, that where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and neither can thieves break through and steal. That's the true treasure. That's what we're after, all the promises of God. And so I'm storing up, you know, treasure where it will be forever. And so I think, well, you know what? God's gift to us is our life and our labor on this mortal plane. And we need to take advantage of every minute, every day that we're here, and make sure that we can sow as much to His kingdom as possible in the time allotted to us. You know, Jesus talked about the unprofitable servant. You can look that up sometime if you want to. But he defined an unprofitable servant as one who only does what's required of him. Yeah. He said, if you only do what's required of you, you're an unprofitable servant. That means He expects much more of us than what's required of us. You know, it's like if you have a job and you have a boss in the world, and you only do what's required of you. What if you do more than is required? Won't you have a happy boss? You know? Or it's like tithing, you know? Keep your books and, you know, examine it with a microscope. Make sure you give your 10%. No, give more, you know? It's like when I used to have a practice when I worked, because I used to work as a carpenter before God called me out of that into the ministry here. And I always did it more, you know, spent more time on, because they were my projects. These were my customers. And so I always wanted to do more because I wanted people to be happy. It was very beneficial if people were happy. Oh yeah, I remember that guy, call that guy. He did more, you know? Or it's like when someone orders something from me, not many people are ordering anything these days, but I was throwing an extra DVD, more. I give them more than they asked for, more than they bargained for, because more is better and people are happy to get more. And so, it's kind of a principle that Jesus exposed there when He talked about the unprofitable servant is the one who does only what's required. But God calls us to do more than we're required. And so I don't know where that came in or why I started talking about that, but it's God's word. So there's a message there for somebody. So it's a principle we want to apply while we're walking the repentance road or the kingdom road, following the Lamb wherever He leads us, following the great shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep follow me wherever I go. So that's what we would like to do. And WW says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Yeah. Of course, I don't know about throwing those two verses together there, WW. the show, talk to us all. Oh, Al. Okay, let's see what's going on there. Anyway, we're coming down to the wire here. Yes, so I call everyone everywhere to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that's why I call my ministry Cross the Border, because God's kingdom is a real kingdom. But unlike the kingdoms of this world, you know, it transcends all of the borders of the kingdoms of this world. You can be on God's kingdom no matter what continent, no matter what country or what beast government is, you know, has sway around you. You can be in God's kingdom. And, oh, not only does it transcend all the borders of the kingdoms of this world, but it transcends time and eternity because it lasts forever. So you have to be in God's kingdom. So get there now and stay there and never depart. That's keeping your eye on the prize, you know. That's setting your hand to the plow and not turning back. That's what it means. All of those kingdom illustrations that we get from the Gospels, that's what they're about, is walking in God's kingdom and remaining in His kingdom. You know, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And Jesus gave us the key to the kingdom. What's the key to the kingdom? Repent. Yeah, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's what Jesus preached. He went about, read it in the Gospels. Jesus went about preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So there's the kingdom of the gospel for you. And, you know, here's another key for you. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. That's right. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. So we must repent. Meta noeo. Change your mind about those things that are separating you from God. Because, you know, when we're in the world, when you're in the world, they think, oh, this ain't so bad. I'm a man, you know. I have to do these things. This is what all the other men are doing. This is what the whole world's doing. God understands that I can't live by His law. But He calls you to change your mind about those things. Yeah, that's right. Repent. Change your mind about those things. And when you change your mind and you come into an agreement with God that the things that He doesn't want you to do are the things that you shouldn't do, then your life will change. That's right. The Holy Ghost will start working in you and the power of God will come upon you and you will overcome and conquer those. It won't be easy. You know, there's a lot of falling down going on the road of repentance. I know it from personal experience. There's a lot of falling down. What did the prophet say? The righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets back up every single time and he continues on that road. And so, and even 70 times. So the illustration is clear. Even on the road of repentance, there's a lot of falling down, but there's a lot of getting back up and reaching for the hand of God. Saying, help me, Father, strengthen me, change my mind, conform me to the image of your only begotten Son. It's not easy, it's difficult, but it will be worth it in the end. And the longer you walk that road, oh, the harder it will be to turn back. Because when you get more invested in God's kingdom than you have invested in the world, there's no turning back. So you got to get to that point. Because I've seen people turn back. And they come to the conclusion, they just did not have enough of their life invested in God's kingdom. And their treasure was still in the world. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, saith the Lord. So keep your eye on the prize. Okay. Any housekeeping we got to take care of here? Well, I have an address. If anyone wants to support this broadcast or the work I'm doing at Cross the Border, you can go to my website and get to the Contact Me page. There's an address, and you can contact me about supporting me if the Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, support that guy. So I just ask you to be obedient to Him. Let's see, what else? You can also give to First Amendment Radio to support the broadcasts on First Amendment Radio. Okay? So you can do that too. I have a link there to First Amendment Radio where on the website. So somewhere it says support, F-A-R, on the page there. And you can visit, there's a button to visit my page there too, across the border blog. So make sure you sign up for that. Let's see, what else do we got? Oh yes, that's right. You go to my website, and yes, you go to my website. Let's see, that's here, crosstheborder.org. Yeah, there it is. And once again, the free ebook. You can get a copy, a free e-copy of The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So make sure you do that. So click on this free ebook tab here, and just follow the instructions. Or if you want to buy the book, click on the Get the Book tab. And so you have to sign up for my blog to do that, but we'll be glad to have you. And if you're one of the thousands of people that have read my book and got a free copy of it, please do me a favor. Go back to the free ebook tab there, which I just clicked on there. Scroll down a little bit, and here's a link to Amazon to leave a review for my book there. And I'm going to click on it and see what happens. Okay, and here it comes. And, oh, 10 customer reviews. Wow, hey, that means I've got 2 more people that have reviewed my book. But I should have hundreds there because I published this in 2014. And I've given thousands of copies away. And I don't know how many copies have sold. Not very many. You know, I'm not making any money on being an author. I'll tell you that much. I think I got $60 in the last quarter for all of my publications. So it's not a lot of money, so I'm not making any money on books here, and I give more away free than ever get sold. But you can go there, and you can buy the book there, or you can buy it directly from me. No matter to me, whatever you do. I said I'm not making any money there, but you can leave a review. There's a button that says leave a review somewhere. Okay. I guess I can't leave a review because I'm me, and that's my book. They don't allow that. But if you click on the 10 customer reviews, and so far, well, 10 people think that this is 5 stars. So, and it, you know, even if you disagree with me, leave a review. Yeah. So anyway, and I want to thank you. Some of those are verified purchasers, and some got the free copy. But anyway, yeah, you should read it. You will see all 10 views. Let's see, reviews. 1, 2 verified, 3 verified. Yeah, 3 verified and 7 that got free copies probably, or aren't verified purchasers. But that's 3 verified purchasers on Amazon. But anyone can go there and leave a review. So I should have hundreds of views. And if I had hundreds of views or thousands of views, maybe more people would pay attention to my book. I think it's kind of a rating thing. That so my book doesn't show up if you put Rapture in Amazon. I don't think it shows up on the first page anyway. You'll get someone like Chuck Missler and The Rapture, Christianity's Most Preposterous Belief. Well, at least he admits it's preposterous, even though he still believes in it. Okay, so anyway. So, I'm gonna, you know, please go there and write a review if you haven't. Okay. What else do we have to take care of? I'm writing another book, so I need your prayers for that. I've kind of got writer's block at this time. I'm about 6 chapters or, you know, 60 pages in or something. And I'd like to have it, you know, like 150 before I publish it. So, and I know I've got a lot more to say, but sometimes getting it from my brain to the paper is kind of difficult, especially since I really do work full time. You could ask James. If anyone here on the ranch has a full-time job, I think it's only me. Seriously. Okay, not to mention I'm a dad. I have a teenage daughter and a retarded adult son. So, and I collect no benefits or welfare from anybody for anything of that stuff. I really am who I say I am. And that's all true. So, okay, well, where do we go from here? Let me check the chat room, see if any comments, questions, or anything like that. Repentant, nope, nothing going on there. Al says, I'm almost done reading. Rapture will be canceled and we'll do the review soon. Thank you for that, Al. I appreciate that. And I guess I need to do another email blast and or something and see if I can get more people to write a review. So I don't know how many people I have on my email list, but I should probably send them all a free e-copy and say, please read and write a review. Yeah, that would be nice. Anyway. So you can do that for me. And am I done here? Is there anything else going on? Oh, wow. Boy. Yes, maybe I'm done here. I don't know. Anyway. I just published another book, which this is a prophecy thing, that you might be interested in. And so trying to increase my publishing money for my labor here. And this is called The History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. This book is 260 pages, yeah. And anyway, you can see it's 260 pages of print. And what this is this goes from, if I was to read the it's a history of apocalyptic interpretation. Yes, my reading glasses give away my age, I guess. It goes from period 1, St. John to Constantine. And I'll just read a few that are listed here. The Pseudo-Syllabine Oracles, number 1, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Hippolytus, Origen, Victorinus, Methodius, and Lactantius. So you see all of the early church fathers that wrote about the apocalypse are reviewed in this book. And as you can see, there's a lot. And it goes all the way up to about the time of the French Revolution. So you want to get that. And I found that as an appendix in E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae and decided it was worthy of being published as a separate book. Well, may the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue to walk in His kingdom.
Destroy, not with the shield of defense. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under heavenly Father, grace, mercy,